Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017,
run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers protecting your future, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome along to it. It's all thanks to Bryden's lawyers protecting your future. Another big week of rugby league on Triple M. Of course, we've got the game this afternoon between the Dogs and the Roosters Tigers. Then tomorrow, the Dogs Dragons. So while you've got an opportunity, download that app now, triplem.com.au. Just quickly, the scores so far. Storm over the chairman, Ray Dibb, will talk to our guys on the panel here on Sunday Triple M NRL. It's a must listen to you for your Doggies fans at about 2:30 this afternoon. Of course, that famous panel is Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler are their names. Their number is 133353. Gordon Tallis, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Anthony. How are you going?
Did you go and watch the Mighty Titans play yesterday at Cbus?
No.
You were on the Gold Coast.
No, I wasn't on the Gold Coast. So what? Look, I told you that I didn't go to the game.
Right.
I only hang around winners, so I wasn't going to go.
What about this bloke?
No, I actually had a really good day yesterday, Anthony. It was a day off, so I actually went and watched a concert out at Eaton's Hill.
Okay.
So it was like a maybe early 90s concert, so you'd know people like Coolio.
Yeah, I don't know him, but yeah.
Colour Me Bad.
Black Box.
Colour Me Bad, Salt and Pepper.
Right.
Tone Lock.
Uh-huh.
And Vanilla Ice.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Outstanding.
We'll get a report later. Paul Kent from NRL 360 in the telly. Welcome to you too, old mate.
Thank you, Maroon. Yeah. You didn't say bad 90s, Gordon. You just said 90s.
Sorry, Paul, because you were like a little heavy metal rocker type of thing with the leather jackets and the cowboy boots on. I'm not that type of guy. I was sort of, the fluorescent Wham, Milli Vanilli. I was those type of people.
That's your look.
Ryan Girdler.
Yeah.
Nice to see you too.
Happy
mate.
Sunday,
yeah.
Anthony.
Good to see you. I love
glad
to see
I
you
wasn't at that concert.
No,
Gordon.
No, because you were Sydney Lauper and all.
Cindy.
Cindy.
Now, there was a big thing at the Opera House last night with a big brass band.
You were, was there?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the trombone.
Massive, I'm sure you do. Now, let's have a look at some of the issues of the day, which we will. Like I say, Doggies fans, Ray Dibb after 2:30. We'll take a look at tomorrow's game shortly as well. Too soon?
No, I don't think so. I think that they played tremendous. I think it was their best performance in the last 10 years, and they put a score on its Queensland side and its agent, and it's made us go back to the drawing board a little bit. And obviously, we're going to get in trouble for picking and sticking. Now, picking and flicking, I've heard Hoops say it a couple of times on the Saturday show. But, you know, you've got to be loyal to winning games of footy and success. And those guys have had a tremendous run. And
you always give them
the last rights to come back and keep on playing in the jersey. But I think it's probably now time for change. And you're probably breaking a golden rule. You probably should change at home and probably game one and give them a chance for the whole series. And probably to come in and make your debut in a game that can decide the series down in Sydney's probably, but when is there a good time to make your debut in Origin? I think that for me now, if I was a 20-year-old kid, I'd love to play this next game. You know, and whether you're up to it or not, time will tell. But it's a great challenge for Queensland and all those old ones that are trying to hold on to their legacy and all the young kids coming through to try to create their own.
I think we put too much emphasis on when the right time to make a debut is. I was talking to Benny Elias the other day. He made his debut. He was 22 years old at Lang Park. And it was in the days when they drove the bus down Caxton Street. And Steve Mortimer was the captain of the Blues at the time. And he told the bus driver to stop and he called all the players over to the side of the bus where they're throwing the beer bottles and whatnot. And this has been in his first Origin game. If you cut from Origin cloth, you cut from Origin cloth.
I made my debut at Lang Park, and that was, I think, one of the last times, Kenny, where they allowed the bus to go down Caxton Street. And the rule was, for anyone on debut, that you had to sit on the left. It was all part of the preparation. It was a great experience.
I think it's right.
Do you reckon they should bring it back?
Well, look, the reason it stopped was a crowd safety issue.
The bus driver started running over feet.
Do you know what?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Like
concedes a, bit of that, a play on this one.
We might have knocked off one of their extra toes.
A bit of. We actually knew that. It was making you guys fight up. Like, it actually was. You know, before it used to probably try to intimidate you, but then you used to go, well, look at these guys here, they don't respect us and all that. And then when Mortimer stopped the bus and we realised that you guys actually enjoyed going down there, then you used it for motivation. Mm. We stopped it. I think we went down a couple of times without you, but it was blocked off type of thing. But then obviously, you know.
Do the Queensland bus still go through there?
No.
They don't go there either.
I think if we win a series, it comes back up at,
okay,
you know, at midnight or whatever, or 1:30 when they're heading back.
No one's going to fall in front of the bus there.
Imagine that.
No. Well, if they do, they don't feel it by then.
Yeah, no. No. They've got another head.
What?
I'm taking Gerd's cue. I thought it's okay to make jokes about you, you know, rednecks up there and your two heads and your six toes and all that sort of thing.
Maybe you're in, if you're listening through Triple M Brisbane.
Do you know what they call it?
133353.
I would like you to know where the redneck saying comes from, Paul.
Where does it come from, Gordon?
You don't? So, Paul, do you know where it comes from?
Yes, it comes from the Civil War.
Slavery, does it?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. You don't know, Gordon?
Yes, I do.
Well, yeah, it comes from the Civil War because the South had that. They had
and when they'd whip them, they would get that angry that all their necks would go red when they'd whip the slaves back in the old days.
I didn't know that. I thought it was. I can't cop this.
I'll cover that.
I can't cop this. They got that angry.
They got that angry.
You good?
They're next.
Hey, mate, well, let's go back to something you definitely do know about.
Yes.
Queensland Origin team for game two.
Queensland Origin team?
You've picked the team for game two?
Look, obviously, there's going to be changes. My team would be probably different to which one Lockie, Gino, and Kevy would go for. Mine would be, obviously, Billy definitely comes back in. He's fullback. I'd have Val Holmes, I'd make that change. He would come on one of the wings. I'd have Chambers and Gagai in the centres. I'd have Darius on the other wing.
Oates is gone.
JT comes back. I'd have Kronk and JT in the halves. I'd have Papali, Smith and Napa in the front row. I'd have Gillett. It's Thaiday's last chance for me. Thaiday would be in the back row with Maguire, Morgan, Hess, Guerra and Bolton on the bench. But Queensland, obviously Oates will probably stay there. But I just think they bombed him to take him out of play, so like they nullified him, and I think that Valentine Holmes has a bit more to offer. You know, I think he's fitter and he's got more legs underneath him. Oates just looked so tired for the whole game, and he had a lot of work to do, and it's not about catching the ball. And they said he had a great night, but they just kicked him and he caught the ball. It's about getting in there. I play with Wendell Saylor. He'd come in and take hit-ups, and he'd take a lot of pressure off you. The Queensland guy...
But isn't that why they... Wasn't that the tactic from New South Wales to kick the ball high, give it to Oates on play one, and then he wasn't going to be able to take another, you know, carry out of trouble?
Yeah, well, I think Vell's a little bit more dangerous. Like, the reason why he takes a great carry, because he runs like a back rower. He runs so straight. Well, I think Vell's got better footwork, and I think that he might sort of beat the first couple and maybe make some metres, and you watch the way he plays for Cronulla. And I've heard...
Is that the team that you think is going to be picked, or is that the team
that... No, that's issues, had he?
Did you say Scott Bolton?
Scotty Bolton.
Plays for the Cowboys.
I don't know who he is.
Michael Bolton's son.
I thought it was his nephew. And Cohen Hess. Did Cohen Hess not come out and say that?
And the great thing about Paul Green, I sort of had a go that he didn't back his players, but I realised what they're trying to do, and it's not his own interest. He said that Cohen Hess is a real humble kid, and he'd give his left arm to play for Queensland, but he was trying to protect him just in case if he doesn't make it or whatever. But Cohen Hess has been in absolutely unbelievable form, and as what Kenny said, you never know whether you're ready for Origin. And Wally Lewis's article today, he's back Cohen Hess, so when the Godfather comes out and says that he's ready, well, it's pretty much that's all you need as a young Queensland kid. But Wally said...
Well, physically, he's up to the challenge.
God, he's Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
I can't wait till he goes, I must break you.
Mm.
Okay, well, now, just on that, tomorrow I'm calling the Doggies game, the Doggies-Dragons game, so we'll break down this Queensland team tomorrow from 3 o'clock with Jamie Soward and the call team tomorrow. So... if you're a Doggies fan or a Dragons fan, just be aware that we... Can somebody please turn there? Whose phone is that?
That is yours. Don't put it underneath the desk.
Veteran.
No, it's one of
the... That's a carton
of
beer.
On the airways.
That's a carton of beer.
And you haven't put your phone on silent.
You don't want to rob a bank with us.
Okay, now what about the New South Wales team? I know, I couldn't believe. I could have blamed that on anyone, you know, but...
Yeah.
What about the New South Wales team, boys? Ryan Girdler, do you have any thoughts on the New South Wales team going into
game
two?
They've got to make changes.
Oh, look, I think Frizzell will need to get through. Obviously, I think he's been named for the game tomorrow. I'd like Mary to make sure that, you know, if they're doing well tomorrow, Frizzell gets a little bit of time maybe on the sideline, which had been back on Friday night. He basically puts
his 18th man, you think?
Just puts his hand up in case there's some injuries to any outside backs. He'll be the next guy sort of to come in. And, yeah, he might go in as 18th man. And I'm also hearing, obviously, Jordan McLean, who wasn't part of the 17 but went in as the 18th man. Yeah. He obviously won't be there, so someone will come
Sterlo
in for him.
Yesterday, he was talking about Ryan James and there was a couple others, but Paul Vaughan. I think Paul Vaughan would be one of the guys.
I think they want to see a little bit more consistency from Paul. Just, you know, he's had a really good start to the season, but hasn't played in a lot of big games as yet, and the finals at the end of the year, and potentially I think it's about seeing him perform at that level for a long period of time, and he hasn't been part
because
of their system.
Because he wasn't in their system. So
they're looking to bring people through. Yeah,
gotcha.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Our number is 133353, of course. Right across the Origin series, we will be on air and have all your Origin games. You can get it all right here at Triple M. Now, some big things coming up today. Michael Morgan from the North Queensland Cowboys joins us just after 1 o'clock today. And Ray Dibb, chairman of the Dogs at 2:30, so stick around for that. Big couple of games over yesterday and Friday. The boys will take a look at that very shortly when we return on Sunday Triple M NRL.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
The time for talk is over.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
Oh, the bunker's getting an absolute flogging today.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Our number is 133353. And a big couple of games yesterday, Saturday NRL. Of course, going back to Thursday when it all kicked off, Storm beat the Sharks 18-13. And then into Saturday afternoon, Manly 18, Knights 14, Broncos 24, Souths 18. Into Saturday, we'll go through all these games. Cowboys 32, Parramatta 6, Panthers 24, Raiders 20. Now, if you didn't know this, of course, Triple M covers every 3 p.m. Saturday Arvo game, which we did yesterday. The Warriors beat the Titans 34 points.
Johnson finds Hoffman. Yes. Great try.
Then back to Johnson. Then out to Blake Aisford. He'll go in untouched. Well-deserved try. Oh, yeah. Mamalo goes over in the corner. And guess what? No one laid a hand on him either. And here goes Roger. Tuivasa-Sheck. Oh, they opened right up. Oh. Goodbye, Roger. Easiest of tries. Titans go left now, LG. Left again, Hayne. Left again, Hayne. Oh, he left them for dead, Jared. He goes over. Johnson goes to Tuivasa-Sheck and Aisford. And Aisford might go over. He does. He slid over. And that'll be the ball game, one would think, for the New Zealand Warriors. We're going upstairs. Johnson got it away to Hingano. Hingano's going to score. But was the pass okay? Well, I guess it doesn't matter now. There's a jumper number 22. The late replacement goes over. And the Warriors, 32, lead the Gold Coast 12.
On Sunday, Triple M NRL highlights from yesterday's 3 o'clock game, Warriors 34, Titans 12. I'm going to start here, Ryan Girdler, with the Titans, because so much was promised from them. Or we just thought they'd do so many things in 2017. I know they got off the season with some massive injuries to the likes of Chris McQueen and Nathan Peets, Jared Hayne. Every major player that they have has spent some time on the bench. But all those things considered, they're sitting down there. I think they've won 4 games. And they're sitting in about fourth last position. I just thought that this might be the year for the Titans.
No, look, depth is going to be an issue for the Titans, wasn't it? You know, they obviously brought some key players at the back end of last year, and Jared's moved back to fullback. But it was always going to be about, you know, when they go through those periods with injuries, has to at the performance. I didn't get to see that game. We were in here, and I was driving home, so I didn't catch too much of it. But just when you look at their side, the players they had on the field, they should have put up a lot more resistance than what they did, and I think that's the disappointing part about yesterday's game.
Look, I don't know the record, but the Warriors certainly have the wood over the Gold Coast Titans.
13 of the last 14.
Yeah, mate. So in the trial this year, like, they broke us down. Tuivasa-Sheck was really good. And, you know, they get that Darius Boyd sweeping action where they attack the last three. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of success, you know, around the Titans second and third. And, you know, and they broke them down. And it was disappointing. And it wasn't you know, Titans made some mistakes and, you know, they let in some tries and they were their own worst enemies at times. But you think when you're playing the Warriors, they're coming, they don't have a great record over there. But, you know, sometimes teams have the wood on you, and no matter how hard it is, and we've all been in those situations before, but the Warriors have the wood on the Titans. Okay. And it was a really good performance, actually, and congratulations to Ryan Hoffman playing his 300th game, too.
Yeah, 300 games and 40-odd two in UK Super League 2.
What is it, though, Gordy? I mean, you know, you spoke about... like the Titans, and you know they've got a really good reputation of being, you know, battlers, haven't they? And they've they've won some really good games this year. What do you think it is at the moment up there that's holding them back?
Well, it's a bit of, you know, I think when Jarryd Hayne comes back, and I've watched it when I'm, you know, at Brisbane, I used to wait until Alf got the ball. You got to play your own natural game. Jarryd Hayne comes, and when he does come back in, because he's just such a big dominant figure that I think that the halves don't play their natural game, and everybody waits for the Jarryd Hayne, or like the Hayne Express, to, you know. Jarryd's still, you know, working on his own game, and he hasn't had a great season because he's been injured and all that. And as you said, if you get a few injuries, and they started the season poor, and then these guys, and then some of the guys are underdone. You
know? I was just about to say that. That's very difficult every week to get your energy up and be in that... that competitive state where you know you only win the game by going out on effort.
Having 17, you know,
and you need the effort
every week.
And particularly, and it becomes even more deflating when you go out and you continue to put that effort in and you lose by a couple of points. Yeah. And everyone says, gee, they were brave. They went down, they only lost by 2 points. Everybody expected more. Gee, they were brave. But that can really deflate you. And I think yesterday was basically a day off for the Titans. Yeah. And they've had a couple lately. I think the energy of trying to sustain it through a season...
Well, they need a bye,
...has started to affect them. Yeah, they do need a bye. And you've seen a couple of weeks back, they also had a round off too. Like, they just... The effort wasn't quite there. And I think it was Manly when they played Manly.
Yep.
And that just happens from time to time. It happens to every team in the competition. And
just putting it in boxing terms, they fight 12 rounds every week. They fight... like, they don't get a knockout. They don't get a TKO. They don't get stopped in the six, and they have a... early night, every time they play for 80 minutes, which is what you love about them. But sometimes, you know, when you play and the game's over, you know, with 20 minutes to go, you can rest your players and a bit of fun comes out and it's not as intense and you get a bit of energy and you can store a bit for training and the week after. So the Titans end, you know, yeah, you know, some days it's just not your day at the office, and that was last night.
And they lose Chris McQueen at the end of this year.
Crispy, yeah.
I think it's a big loss for the Titans, but I don't quite know. Has the deal been done with Jarryd Hayne yet, Gordon?
Yeah, Jarryd Hayne after Origin, I think.
Right, yes.
Because everybody was talking about Origin. He took up his option, I think, on the Thursday.
That was the deadline, Origin night. He had until midnight to make a decision. Clearly he's staying on. I don't think there was any other choice for Jarryd to go anywhere else. I think the dream of chasing sports around the world is pretty much over unless he has a couple of retirement years in French rugby or something like that. And other than that, no other club in Sydney was going to offer him the money that he's on the
dock. Well, you've got to play good, don't you? Because if you look at someone like Semi Radradra and Vunivalu and all these guys, if I'm a French rugby union guy and I'm going to play in the outside backs, there's a Dylan Walker, there's a lot of talent running around.
Yeah, the other thing about playing over there, though, is that there is some transition time to take to get used to it. We saw that with Ben Barber. Ben Barber went over there, didn't really set the world on fire. A new coach came in, had no rap on him and moved him on. Other players have gone over there and haven't succeeded and come back fairly quickly or taken some time. Sam Burgess didn't work in rugby. He couldn't make the transition. Other players can make the transition, but it takes some time. Even you talked to Mark Gasnier about when he was over there. He took a little bit of time to get used to how to play the game, and you know, I must say that once he got used to it, once he knew where to be positionally, he was very, very good. He surprised his teammates over there about how good he actually was. But it's a tough thing to do. And the other thing for Jarryd, though, is when he signed his contract with the Gold Coast, everybody was under the impression the salary cap was going to be around about $10 million.
Yeah.
So he benefited by that. Now everybody is quickly budgeting for much less. So other clubs in the NRL don't have the money to say to Jarryd, well, come over and play for us because we can give you a better deal. There's just simply not one there.
Okay. Sunday Triple M NRL, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Anthony Maroon. We do it thanks to Brian Hoffman, I believe, has been told by the Warriors that he can look elsewhere for next year. And there's still a lot of footy in him, I would have thought, Gerds.
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise because he's the type of player that I believe that they need to go forward. And look, Ryan, he was captain over there for a period. I'm not sure whether the decision to take the captaincy off him, he's a great voice, he's a great leader, and he's one of those guys that's been in a lot of good systems, played a lot of representative football, could only, I would imagine, offer positive things to the Warriors who, for most of their season this year, have lacked people with that sort of commitment and direction. So I don't know who they're going to replace him with. Usually you don't let people go unless you've got someone coming in to fill that void, whether or not Stephen Kearney thinks that, you know, his best years are behind him. But form-wise, I mean, he seems to be scoring more tries than he ever has. He's got that left edge down. His combination with Johnson and Foran seems to be a really good one. So for mine, I can't work that decision out.
Well, I have to say, if they are going to let Ryan Hoffman go from the New Zealand Warriors, and we know that Ben Matalino is going to the West Tigers, and I heard a little whisper through the week that Lilyman might have been in talks with the Roosters. So who is going to play in the forward pack for the Warriors next year?
Look, they've got a wealth of talent coming through their system. I don't think that's ever been the issue. No. You know, their under-20s are always really strong. But they're not necessarily the type of guys that are going to come in and make a difference immediately, and I believe that's what they need. They're going to lose Kieran Foran, who's been a really good addition to their side next year, and they need more guys, I believe, like Ryan Hoffman, like Kieran Foran, coming into their side, not leaving.
Yeah, well, they could potentially go backwards, couldn't they? Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. The other game, yes, they haven't had Matt Scott, and they haven't had Jonathan Thurston, and they've had a lot of injuries. I don't know who wants to open up here, but... Mm. They are still ticking along well and truly in that top seven. They're 4 points clear of the team in eighth position, and they're going to get some of these players back.
Yeah, look, they were the better of the round last night, the Cowboys. The mail was out earlier that Jonathan Thurston would play. So with Jonathan Thurston back in that side, I thought they were really a good value. They're a side, I think, look, everybody's got to go through injuries. One of the arguments the NRL, the old NRL, used to put up about the length of the season was it gives teams the opportunity to recover and get past injuries. If you've got a 6 month season like we have now, players can go out with a shoulder like Jonathan Thurston, get busted up and miss 4 or 5 games, come back, and it doesn't. They've still got enough time in their competition in their season to overcome that. That's what the Cowboys are doing. The trick for the Cowboys when they lose a player like Thurston is to just try and basically bat about square, win as many as you lose, and make sure that when he comes back, you're in a position where you can do some damage. And that's where they're at there now. They're in the top eight. They're not sailing along, but the only real problem they've got is that the Matt Scott won't be back all season. That's going to be a significant loss, but still they are more than competitive. So Jason Tomalolo is still the most destructive ball runner. I don't want to disagree with Wally Lewis. I know he said Cohen Hess is the most destructive ball runner in the team, but either way, the Cowboys got them both.
Yeah, by geez, you imagine them in semi-final time with both those blokes in the pack.
And that makes it really lucky too, because Cohen Hess has come along at a time when they lost Matt Scott and everybody thought, well, that's it for them. But you didn't really factor in how good could be the bloke that the Cowboys, with the absence of Matt Scott, can actually get out now and get on the back of. And I tell you what, he's more than capable.
Yeah, so I think it was 50, he played over 50 minutes and 16 carries for like 150 metres. And well, it's a guy now that would come in. And the Parramatta, like, they're a really tough forward pack. Like, when you watch them, like, they're no nonsense and they're big and they get into
very
it.
Very physical.
Yeah, but Cohen Hess stood up again, you know, and I can't wait to watch him put on a maroon jersey myself, because we need a good young kid to come through and, you know, be a generational type of player. And, you know, I reckon he's got a good 10 years at the top.
And, Gordy, what about Parramatta last night? I just got the feeling they
didn't get the rub of the green.
But it didn't look like they wanted to do the hard stuff.
Yeah, well, you know what, and that happens. Like, they're one of those sides that I think that they overachieve a bit, Parramatta, and, you know, Corey Norman's been out and Moses, so, you know, trying to work out that whole combination, but they're still a work in progress. But I actually like Parramatta. I think most weeks they turn up and they have a go, and it's just one of those Titans-like performances where they had a night off and a couple of decisions go against them and you lose a ball and Jonathan Thurston comes back, and it's one of those games where you think, can you come back next week, JT? But Parramatta, you know, they probably need everything going for them, and Corey Norman comes back, but that's going to be one of those situations with him and Moses and Gutherson and Pritchard, like that's a combination that might take this, you know, club into finals contention. So they're going to have to work really hard on it.
Just while we've got a second, fellas, we go back to Friday night, the Storm over the Sharks. And what did you guys make of Flano's comments about referee Smith? Did you want to say anything about that?
He didn't say it after the grand final.
No,
he didn't say it after Cameron Smith played the same for the 25th of the game. That's it. That's the sportsman. That's the part that we like. You know, I mean, like Wally Lewis used to go up for like theatre to give his blokes a rep, and he's walking up and his hands are going everywhere. The crowd would come. They would throw cans or whatever. Like in those days are gone, but it's all part of theatre, isn't it? Like Gallen, like in players throwing their hands up all the time. Isn't it part of it, Paul?
It is part of it. But look, the concerning part is the wrestling techniques. What Shane Flanagan was pointing to is not just Cameron talking to the referee, but also the fact that Cameron continually stands offside. All the things we've spoken about before, players standing offside, because what they do is they're coached to do it. This is the issue, and this is where the game needs a serious discussion about what we're going to do. Coaches say to their players, if you all stand off together, offside together, instead of going back 10 metres, stand a metre or two in front of the referee who's supposed to be holding the 10, the referees have squibbed that a bit by saying, well, the referee is actually standing behind the line to have a look at, make sure they're all onside, which is complete rubbish. The referee is supposed to go back 10 metres to mark the 10 metres that the teams get to. The teams don't get there, but they still stand in a line. They're trained to stand in a line, so it doesn't look like there's one player the referee can single out, you're offside. So what then begins to happen, Maroon, is because they're standing offside, you see the referees may call a penalty early. In the old days, there was always a couple of early offside penalties for the referee to, as we used to say, get control of the game. They don't like to blow penalties now. This is back one of my main beasts about Billy Harrigan. He ruined the game for everybody else because he was just too good. It's like Muhammad Ali's boxing style. Great for Ali, ruined a generation of fighters because they all thought that was the way to fight.
instead of throwing the punches that they threw.
Well, they all thought they were that. They thought they all of the teams, but he really blew a penalty. So they're all trying to go down that model now. So what coaches?
It's not a bad model.
No, it's a great model when it works, Gordon. But what coaches have identified is that the referees don't like to blow more than about 10 to 12 penalties, right? Yep. So last year in that Melbourne. I think it was the Melbourne-Canberra preliminary final made the grand final. Melbourne won the game. There was 15 penalties blown in that game. The following week in the grand final, there was only 8 blown because the referee didn't want to blow penalties and ruin the spectacle. So what they do is they coach the stand offside. What they realise is that the referee, if he blows 2 or 3 early because they're abusing that option, the referee will soon put the whistle in his pocket because he doesn't want the game to become about him and he doesn't want the conversation after the game to be about the referee blowing 25 penalties. Now, you can find more than 25 instances in a game where the teams are offside. They do it deliberately. So what coaches have identified...
But if you watched Origin, both sides are off, but it's still flow. You know,
this,
like,
must be a new tactic, though, because I remember, like, we all played in the same... It was all about at training, getting back behind the referee, making sure you're onside, not giving away.
It is a new tactic. And look, the difference, I'll tell you the difference why Origin was the way it was and club games are, because the teams don't have as long in camp together, because they don't do as many training sessions, they don't have their wrestling down in sync with each other. So there was just less wrestling in the game. Yeah. So that enabled quicker play of the balls, which then enabled the game to roll, which brought in the fatigue factor. The way that the referees do this is that firstly the NRL fixes it by empowering the referees to blow the whistle. Yes. And they say to everybody, they come out publicly and they say,
it was an awful product.
That's true, Gertz, but you've got to do that to get the teams back under control, because at the moment they're taking license with being offside. The other part is all the wrestling. We've got to move it. Flanagan was extremely critical of Melbourne's wrestling as well, and it's identified in the paper today that
Do Cronulla have a wrestling coach?
Of course they do. Okay, and Cronulla... Gordon, if you read my column yesterday, I said problem was with Flanagan's comments was Cronulla got out Cronulla'd. That's what happened on Thursday.
And Melbourne Storm got out Melbourne Storm when they played last time. This is turning into a great rivalry where we watched Brisbane play the Cowboys and we all got enthralled because two clubs were playing a brand of footy and their styles made an unbelievable game, and it was going to golden point. I think 4 out of 5 it was, you know, separated by like 1 point. This is hatred, and it's good, but you know what? The grand final, every time you play a grand final and you win or lose, like with Penrith and the Roosters and Penrith and Canberra, like there's a bit of a rivalry there. And then this rivalry is building, and it's built on a bit of hatred where you watched last time there was sledging going on and all that. And then what I saw was Melbourne Storm with no Cooper Cronk, no problems. Their ability to isolate defenders, to get one-on-one, and Cameron Smith did it perfectly, and they broke Cronulla down. And then Cronulla couldn't come back in. And, yeah, they wrestle. And that's when you know when you play against Melbourne Storm that they control the ruck. I don't think that they do the chicken wings and all that anymore. And that's what I had a beef, and I hated the wrestle. But if they're not trying to twist their heads off and all that kind of stuff, well, I don't mind. And if you can hold them up.
That, pick up that paper in your hand and look at those photos, because what they've essentially done.
Yeah, maybe you could do that to any club and any player.
Exactly, Gordon. But that's not, it's not, I'm not down to the air. And Melbourne, basically, they're so clever the way they do it. They've taken it. Rather than get you on the ground and wrestle you once you're on the ground, they do it all in the air now. It looks like they're trying to. It's catching and then
the Roosters started that back in the late 90s. They call dance with them, dance with them, dance with them down, and they do all that kind of
stuff.
But
look at Cameron Smith in the photo in the Telegraph today, page 48. Hang on a second. Yep. Cameron Smith is not even tackling a Cronulla player. He's tackling his own player. Why? Because that slows the play of the ball down.
No, because it gives him a stat. Nathan Hindmarsh made a career on tackling his own.
No, it's not about it. Don't seriously.
Just so everybody knows.
Look, this is turning into a really stupid argument.
No, it's not, mate, because do you know what? They're just better than anybody else, right? And if you look at that picture, Melbourne Storm get more players in there. So what they do is they get 3 and 4 in every tackle. So they work harder.
Well, admit to it.
And every club does it.
Admit to it. Don't tell us it's about sitting there and getting your stats up.
Every club does it, Paul.
I acknowledge that at the start of the conversation. Every club does do it. And what I'm saying is this is the... So you prefer to see a game like last night than you would in Origin 1?
No.
You would?
They're whinging about Thursday night's game.
I'm not worried about Cronulla. I'm not worried about Cronulla whinging.
Well, that's what you're talking about, the Melbourne Storm, and that's how it come up because Flanagan was whinging.
I'm saying they're all doing it. I'm talking bigger picture here, Gordon. You get that concept?
All right,
yes, I do, and you're not painting a Picasso at the moment.
Okay, the guys are just talking about an article in the telly today called Air Grapple, which we might revisit again. The old grapple tackle, the old Melbourne Storm... thing that comes up every so often. Fellas, just before we go to the break,
fashion grope.
Let's have a look at the Penrith Raiders game, which was in Penrith yesterday in front of a good crowd, a beautiful night for rugby league.
No, it was at Bathurst yesterday.
Yeah, I beg your pardon, what did I say?
It was cold.
Did I say Penrith?
You said
Penrith.
You did.
Oh, sorry.
Other than that, you've been going really well.
Another Aaron Peachy went over with 19 seconds to go, Paul Kent.
Yeah, look, you won't be hearing it here. I don't know how Canberra lost the game, to be honest. I know you see at times, a couple of years back, there was those great South Sydney Roosters rivalries where in the season both got knocked the other off in the final minute of the game. But this is a side who was leading 20-12 with 2 minutes left in the game and lost.
Yeah.
They just clocked off. And Canberra, until Canberra get their head together and look, that's just desire, I think. I don't think Penrith did anything particularly brilliant. I think that Canberra just were off their legs and just there were a couple of things there. They should have shut the gate. They didn't do that. The Panthers went straight through them. And yeah, maybe they've been too careful defensively and trying to just hang off the cover bases when they should have just committed.
And what I feel a little bit like Canberra when I watch them, Ryan Girdler, that perhaps, you know, the way they're finishing off games and the way they're losing games, they've kind of gone back 18 months.
These two sides, I think there's a fair few similarities in these two sides in the way that they play. They both like to play with a lot of momentum and they both play really well out of transition. So basically, you know, when they're defending, they turn defence into attack probably better than any other two teams in the competition. All of a sudden, they're defending their line. The next moment, you know, they've got the players with the ability to take them 70 or 80 metres up the field, play the ball and then score a try. What both of these sides, in my opinion, lack is the ability to put on those set pieces, that goal line attack and sustained pressure with good kicks on the end of it. They sort of rely on that transitional style of play, which is okay when these two seem to be able to build pressure, get their kicks away, don't try and score off every play, and then actually come up with some well-created set pieces because you're not always coming out of transition until they learn to play those other parts of the game. I think they're going to continue to do what they're doing at the moment, which is win some weeks, lose some weeks, but essentially when they come up against the good sides that can play transition, that can play goal line attack and do have good kicking games, I think they're going to lose.
Isn't the other issue too defensively though? That seems to me that my biggest query on both sides is, whereas you saw Thursday night, two teams that just went out, settled in, knew it was going to be tough for 80 minutes, Melbourne Cronulla, and they just got defensively, they just got into a groove and they just kept turning up defensively for the entire 80 minutes. Both these sides have really, really questionable lapses defensively. They some of those missed tackles on the goal line defence last night were pretty poor.
I reckon naturally.
They're just one-on-one misses.
Naturally, they're the two probably most skillful sides in the comp. Like, naturally, they're probably the best athlete. They've all got good footwork. They're all fast. But when that doesn't work, they don't seem to set up for a play and be able to break them down and go, well, let's pull them here and here. And then in defence, because naturally they're big and strong and they rely on their natural ability, that sometimes what they're supposed to be doing in their structures and what the team asks them to do, they can go away from it because naturally they're actually really good at all the stuff. So it's just a mindset. But I like watching. I don't support them, but I love watching Penrith and I love watching the Raiders play because when you sit at home, something happens, whether they win or lose, and that used to be the same as the Warriors.
And the Roosters at Campbelltown. Dan Ganane will call that one for you and we'll preview that game a little later on for Iveco Truck. Strong by nature, iveco.com.au. You Doggies fans, haven't we got a treat for you? The chairman himself, Ray Dibb, comes on at 2:30 to speak to the boys. It's what's going wrong. And we'll ask me the question, what is going wrong with the Doggies at the moment? Might give you a chance to call in at that time as well. Doggies fans, be ready for that at 2:30.
Get us on speed dial, Dogs fans.
Because we are coming up with more straight after this on Sunday, Triple M NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday, Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerd. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to it. Big weekend of rugby league continues with the game this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and again tomorrow we'll have that Dogs-Dragons game for you. So download the app now, triplem.com.au. Yesterday, as the Warriors beat the Titans 34-12, the great man Ryan Hoffman clocked up a wonderful milestone, 300 NRL games. And after the game, he caught up with the Triple NRL team and had this to say.
Let's talk about the big moment, mate. 300 games for you. Massive. You had your family here, your children. What does it mean to be able to get the win here with these boys and have your family here to support?
Oh, yeah, it's massive. Like, you don't get these milestones unless you've got great support by great teammates and your family. And, my wife's been with me the whole time. And, it's something really special. And it's just been, the way it worked out here on the Gold Coast. All my family lives in southeast Queensland. So to be able to have them here to share with me is something really special.
Talking about support here tonight, there's more Warriors fans than Titans fans here tonight. Is that the norm here at the Gold Coast?
I think it's the norm in southeast Queensland, to be quite honest. Like, I think there's almost more Kiwis here than in New Zealand. So, look, we always get fantastic support. They're really, they support our team no matter how we're going. And they're the type of fans you want in rugby league.
Sterling?
Yeah, Ryan, wonderful achievement. We're just saying that, the amount of first graders that have played the game and to be in that elite group, it really is a fantastic.
I've been quite fortunate about it. I've been lucky with injuries. I've had great teammates. But, I've really been lucky that my love of the game certainly hasn't waned. And, I definitely want to go around again next year. We'll wait and see after that. But like I said, I just love this game too much to be able to give it away just yet.
And that was, of course, Ryan Hoffman speaking to Ben Hannett, who is, of course, now the big wig on Gold Coast Breakfast Radio, big Benny Hannett, the polar bear.
And I heard a couple of rumours about Hoffman maybe going and spending the last year back in Melbourne too. So,
yeah.
I mean, because you're thinking someone like that, who would they go back to? And if, and being that old, you don't want to take up when you've got a young kid in the system, but it probably makes sense to go back to where it all started. And he probably sacrificed when that salary cap deal sort of happened. I think Ryan Hoffman was one of those guys that I think had to go over to England and come back. So probably makes sense if he goes back and plays with all of his old mates down in Melbourne.
Okay, Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Now, this is the 300 Club, which Ryan Hoffman joined yesterday, becoming the 27th member. By the way, there's four current players in that 300 Club, being, of course, Ryan Hoffman, Cam Smith, Cooper Cronk, Chris Hyington. But I thought we'd have a look at some of the list of some of these players because we know a lot of them, and some of them have even worked here on the Triple M NRL network. Let me start off at number 303. Started off at the Northern Eagles, Manly, and, of course, finished his career at Parramatta. He's a regular at Girdler's in DY. We're talking about the great man Anthony Watmo, who played 303 games.
And those three games for Parramatta were absolutely outstanding. Sorry.
No, but he was obviously part of that that Manly dynasty of, and the Stewart boys and Matt Eye and great origin, great test player, so brilliant career.
So there's 300 for Ryan Hoffman, 300 for Johnny Morris, who was a great little club player who played for a number of clubs, 300 for the Prince, Scott Prince, 301 for Lukey Ricketson, Minnie played 302 for the Roosters, and then Chock at 303. Chris Hyington, who's still playing for Cronulla at 307, and Noddy Kamali played 307 across the Knights, the Hunter Mariners, Melbourne, the Northern Eagles, Cronulla and the Dogs.
309 for Petro through Brisbane and Penrith.
Well,
let's go to 300.
You know what, mate, can I just say that? Petro and then the next one, Ruben Wiki at 312.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Go on.
Those guys, well, you know what I mean, and I'm a little bit biased, and Luke Rickerson, those guys in the middle of the ruck, that's why Cameron Smith, the amount of work he does in the middle of the ruck, it's pretty special. And, you know, wingers and all those guys, and with the interchange coming in and all that, you know, that you know that they can play because they're not playing 80 minutes every week. But those guys, Ruben Wiki, what he put his body through, and Petro Sivanasiva, I don't think as a big guy, there's no one tougher than that guy.
Well, you've seen Ruben Wiki running around on the training staff.
Oh, my God.
And he just looks as fantastic as ever. Had a wonderful career with Canberra.
He was captain of the Granite 13, Ruben. He was captain of Granite.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Yeah. He was pretty hard, Ruben.
Yeah, and finished his career with the Warriors. 313 for Cooper Cronk, who's still running around and will be at the Rabbitohs next year. No, I'm just kidding. Brent Kite at 330. We got a great halfback. We don't need him. Steve Price, 313. Luke Prittis, 315. Our old mate Paul Langmack on 315.
Langers.
The great Hazem El Masri.
Condom for that long.
317 for Hazem. Jason Croker, old Toots, 318 games for Canberra. Then we bring in this one who I think, Paul Kent, you'll be old enough to remember. You might have seen the back end of his career, Ryan Girdle.
Close your web.
You do. You bring it back to age like I'm only 4 years older than you.
Yes.
Mate, it looks like a lifetime.
And you're still dressing the
centres. Jeff Jerome was very good. He actually began his career in the centres. He's now in New South Wales Select. He finished in the front row, which was a typical track back then, starting the centres, and as you got slower, you moved towards the middle until you finished in the front row. He was actually the first player to ever play 300 games, Jeff Gerrard. He finished on 325. He had a great career and didn't win a premiership though, Jeff Gerrard, which was quite unfortunate. He played, he was at Parramatta when they lost grand finals in the 70s, and he left Parramatta to go to Manly and was beaten by Parramatta in grand finals there, and then moved on to Penrith before, and obviously had no luck there. He was there in 89, the final year was of his career. But that was a pretty long career back then, and that was a bit of a very unusual, only 300-game player at the time in the game. Since then, there's been a multitude. It's amazing it took 81 years for the first 300-game player, yeah. And in the 28 years since, we've had another 26 join him. So, player welfare.
Yeah. Mm. Sports science. Sports and also science. The length of the season, Kenny. Yeah. It's a bit longer now, isn't
and
it?
And the peptides.
Yeah. All right. Sunday Triple M NRL. If you've just joined us, we're talking about 300 gamers in the game of rugby league.
I was 45.
And we are now going to number 328 games. Andrew Ettinghausen, 330 for Hindy, Nathan Highmarsh, 332 for Cliffy Lyons through Norths and Manly, 336 Freddie Fittler from Penrith and the Roosters, and then 347 for the great man from Melbourne Storm, the great referee Cameron Smith. Fellas.
Put your manners back in.
Hang on a second, mate.
Don't jump on someone's
You just want to be very careful
here.
How you speak to me, mate.
This was the third.
Didn't Hindy win a grand final?
No. Apparently not. Apparently not. So,
Johnny
a lot
Morris,
of games to
so
play without a grand
did Johnny
final.
Morris
did Johnny Morris Johnny Morris was at the Knights in 2001, which he wouldn't have started, but that's the one question mark.
It may be the West Tigers when they won in two, or was he?
Well, Robbie was a hooker, so.
Look, Danny Bedaris was the hooker in 2001 too, but I think Johnny Morris was on the bench for the Knights that year.
Yeah.
Stephen Price?
He was at Canterbury. Price.
Yeah, but he didn't play in the grand final.
He didn't play in the 2005 grand final.
No, he might have won in 95.
95?
Yeah. Right.
94 Stephen, he started? Possibly.
Yeah, mate, 95 he was a back row, I think, or come off the bench. Okay. Pricey with the headgear on.
Triple MNRL, 300 clubbers.
He wore headgear back in the old days, Stephen Price, and then 98 he would have played. So he would have played in a fair few grand finals, Pricey.
Corey,
not a lot of wins.
Corey Parker, 347. Beaver Menzies, of course, 349, but played about another 300 in the UK, the legend. Beaver?
Well, Beaver played till he was 40. I don't know how old Cliffy was, but Beaver's one of those guys that just a natural athlete, just one of those guys that, and if you watch him now and like he works on with us at Fox, when he takes his shirt off, it's like he's still 20. Yeah. You know, he's one of those freakish genetic
guys. They're just guys that didn't seem to get it. Major injuries, aren't they? Like I remember, you know, Freddie and Beaver, they just...
Yeah, they just keep playing on, don't they?
They just don't seem to get those major ones, and it allows them to, you know, continue to play. So, what were you doing there with the?
I was just showing the 95 grand final team with Steve Price in the second row. Yeah,
okay.
One of the amazing things about Beaver, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but I'm a little bit like not sure this kid's going to make it. And then what happened? They got a few injuries in the back row one day, and they just thought, look, mate, he's big enough. And they just let's throw him into the fire. If he can handle it, he's got a career. Otherwise, he's probably all over for him. So they put him in the back row and they said to him, listen, just get wide. This is Bob Fulton coach. Just get wide. When Clifford gets the ball, just find a hole, run at it, and he'll give you the ball. And he owns about five houses because of it.
I'd say about eight.
Yeah.
All right, 350 gamer Terry Lamb, who of course started off at the Magpies, Terry Lamb, and then went to Canterbury Bankstown. And the 355 gamer, as we look at the list of 300 pluses in the NRL, Darren Lockyer, 355 games, the great Darren Lockyer.
Mm. I've got a trivia question for you. Who joins the 300 club next week?
Oh, I know the answer to this.
Next round, sorry. I won't say next week.
Is it John Sutton?
No. Nope. Come on. Oh, come geez. On. Good
Can
player.
Can you give me a club?
Good player.
Can you give me the club?
No, I can't give the club. That'll give it away. Good player, though.
Okay. Oh,
well. He should have got it a few weeks back, but he didn't. He's been out injured.
Mm. Jonathan Thurston.
Yep.
Oh.
Played 299 games. That last time was his 299th. His next NRL games is 300, so he joins the club as well. But I tell you what, Cameron Smith at the end of this season will have the record for most games, obviously injury allowing. He will have every record in the book. Most tests for Australia.
Except tries.
Most origins. Tries. Thank you, Gordon.
I just don't want to give the listeners a...
It makes the case that basically it's just a no-brainer when it comes to the next immortal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's,
well, you can't do any more.
You can't do any more. Of other stuff, not hair.
Brass.
Well, they wouldn't have any trouble with you, would they, if they needed to put hair in it? Oh!
Don't take your glasses off. I'll punch you around them.
Sunday Triple M NRL. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Anthony Maroon. We do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Well, plenty still to come. Michael Morgan from the North Queensland Cowboys will speak to Sunday Triple M NRL, and you Doggies fans, get ready for it at 2:30 today. Ray Dibb, the chairman, comes on to answer questions from the panel led by Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, and Gordon Tallis. Sunday Triple M NRL as Triple M rocks the footy.